Well, I'm just going to focus on the gospel reading today, which is all about discipleship. And it has some really important lessons for us. It comes at a turning point in Jesus' ministry when he's come to the end of his Galilean ministry and he is changing direction, as verse 51 says. He set out for Jerusalem, or as some translations have it, he set his face towards Jerusalem. And that means he is beginning the journey towards what will happen to him there on the cross. The fulfillment of all that had been promised at his birth, and indeed throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus was resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. He was not to be sidetracked, even though he knew what would happen when he got there. And on his way, they were passing through some villages in Samaria, a region on the edge of Judea. Jesus sent messengers ahead of him, disciples to prepare the way like an advance party. But the Samaritans didn't welcome him because his long-term aim was to go beyond Samaria. We don't quite know why this was. Maybe they wanted to keep him for themselves. Maybe they wanted him to stay and continue his healing and teaching ministry with them. Maybe they didn't want to share him. Maybe they didn't like the idea that his mission was for the whole world. We don't know. But clearly they rejected him, and the rejection of Jesus' ministry and actually his very person in not making him welcome is something that the disciples felt really hurt by. And James and John, the sons of thunder, they wanted to call down fire from heaven, rather like Elijah in the Old Testament, calling down fire to punish them. But Jesus said, no, let it go. We'll move on to where we are welcome. And actually, that's a very important lesson in ministry. There are places, there are times when we're not welcome, and the response then is to move on to places where we are welcome. Now, there's a picture here of, this is a coracle in a chapel. I don't know if you can see that. The coracle is full of lovely coloured fabric, which is overflowing onto the ground. And there's colours and lights and threads that illustrate something about the journey. And this is from a retreat that Paul and I went on a couple of weeks ago in Northumberland. And we were thinking about the journey of Brendan. And he, like many of the Celtic saints, set out on a coracle in the sea, just letting the tide take them, believing, trusting God, that God would send them to the place where they were meant to go. They set out on a journey. And we were thinking about that whole idea of when we are disciples of Jesus, we set out on this journey. We don't always know where he's going to take us, what place we'll end up, but the important thing is to trust God and to set out without laying any conditions on it, and often without any security at all. And this is the sort of thing that was happening in Jesus' day as well, and that's what he was calling his disciples to. Now, St. Luke's Gospel, he focuses very much on that journey. He's not so concerned about getting the geographical details right, about which particular place they were in, what village they were in, but what's important is the journey, the direction of travel, and the ultimate destination, that he was following the purposes of God, his Father. This is our family a few years ago on the top of Ben Nevis in the winter. We were definitely following a particular direction there. And this journey is a theme for us today, and it's a theme for St. Luke. It resonates with the way we tend to describe our faith journey nowadays. We often talk in terms of Christian journey or spiritual journey. And St. Luke, in his other writing, when he wrote the Acts of the Apostles, he describes the early Christians as people of journey, people of the way. So it's a long-standing theme, this, to be speaking of being on a journey. But the important thing is where are we journeying to? It's all about the destination. It's not about making yourself cozy here and now, but it's about the long-term goal. And St. Luke now moves on to give three examples of people who showed varying commitments of varying levels of commitment on that journey. The first man said, "I will follow you wherever you go." I'm sure he said that with real meaning. He meant that. I will follow you wherever you go. I want to be your disciple. Surely that's something we all want to sign up to. We all want to follow Jesus wherever he's calling us to go. But Jesus highlights the cost to that man. He says, it will be unsettling. It means moving out of your comfort zone. You may have to keep moving on and have nowhere to lay your head. You know, foxes have holes to go to, birds have nests, but you may find as a disciple of mine that you're not actually in the place, the comfortable place you might have chosen to stay, that is easier to be in. God might be calling you to something more challenging. What Jesus meant was, think it through. Are you really prepared to put what you say into practice? In the second example, Jesus approaches someone. He challenges them, maybe somebody wavering on the edge of his group of disciples. Follow me, he said. But the man had a delaying tactic. In fact, there might be two men here. There's somebody that says they want to bury their father, and there's someone that says, let me first say goodbye to my family. Both of these are delaying tactics. The one who says, let me bury my father, well, if his father had just died, he wouldn't be out on the street following Jesus. What he meant was, let me wait a few years until I've fulfilled my obligation as a son and my parents have died and I've buried my father. And that could have taken years. And the one saying, let me go back and say goodbye to my family, again, that were, culturally, there would have been a prolonged going back and saying goodbye. Jesus was saying, no, you need to be about this now. Don't delay. He said, what he was meaning was that those who are spiritually dead can deal with all the arrangements that need to be made, but you, if you are my disciple, if you are spiritually alive, you need to be following me now. Be busy about the kingdom now. Don't put it off. Don't delay. And the third example seems to be a sort of proverb. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And this is the one that challenges me most. There's an image here of somebody setting out, a farmer, getting his animals ready in the days of hand plows, getting started plowing this furrow, having a whole field to plow, getting going, and needing to be focused on that direction of travel so that the plow is going in the right place and the animals are going in the right place. And if we try and do that without focusing on where we're going, rather like riding a bike but not looking at where you're going, but looking down at the ground or your pedals, you fall off. It doesn't work. You get into trouble. And that's what he meant here. Don't be half-hearted. Don't keep looking back. Don't keep looking at the ground. Don't keep looking at how many difficulties there are. Don't be hankering after your old way of life before you signed up to full commitment. Don't keep thinking about the time when you could keep your options open. You hedged your bets when you could avoid anything that was too costly. He was saying, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you need to be really committed. You need to be someone who keeps going with plowing that field. And if you want to be fit for service in my kingdom, you need to keep going. So that means we have to live out our faith from our hearts, not just a mind understanding, in our hearts, so that we're not just leaving it at one level, we're putting our whole selves into living out our faith as Christians if we are to be true disciples of Jesus. It needs to touch us at all levels and be the source of how we live and what direction we're going in. And that message is as valid today, for us as it was for Jesus' disciples when he first said those words. There's a lady called Rachel Turner who has designed a course called Parenting for Faith. And in that course, she asks, do we want our kids to be God smart, meaning children who know all about God in theory, in their heads, or do we want them to be God connected? And that means knowing him in their hearts, having a living relationship with Jesus. Well, I think this is a good question for all of us as well, for adults and for children. Do we want to be God smart or God connected? Do we want to know all about following Jesus in theory, know the right theological answers, or do we want a living relationship with Jesus? And sometimes that means pouring ourselves out in ministry to serve others, to be loving, to go places we might not have really wanted to go, to move out of our comfort zones, to get stuck into situations where God is already at work. Now, I hope you can all come back next week, because we've got Tracy and Andy Milne coming to lead our service and to preach next Sunday. It's a joint service at 10:45. And Tracy and Andy Milne work for the Church Army, and they felt called to go and work with all the young people who were milling about on the streets in Bradford with nothing much to do, getting into trouble. They had nothing to give them any sense of purpose in life. And through a skateboard ministry initially, Andy Milne started up this ministry called Sorted. And is Val here today? I think Val will be here next week. Val's involved in this. She goes along and gets alongside some of these young people. And from Tracy and Andy Milne's work, a new church has grown for young people who weren't previously involved in church at all. And they have found faith and purpose in life. And that meant Andy and Tracy going into some really uncomfortable situations at inconvenient times of the day, because God was calling them to reach out to these young people. Now, that might not be for all of us. We might not all feel we've got the capacity to do that, but there will be something for each of us that God is calling us to do, that we need to be open-minded enough to be willing to just step into in faith and trust. The spiritual journey is the sort of phrase that's used a lot nowadays to express exploration of personal faith, well-being, the inner journey. And that is all really good. We need to do that first in order to find the spiritual resources to live out a life of Christian faith. But if we spend too long in that place, looking inwards, not being outward-looking, then we don't move anywhere. We need to think about where we're going, what is our ultimate destination. Being aware of the journey is good. That sense of adventure, that life is full of possibilities and potential, but to make the most of it, we need to reflect at times and get in touch with what is motivating us, who we are following. Are we really following Jesus Christ? Are we really following his calling on our life? Are we really feeding on his word? Are we really focusing on living out our life every day of the week and then taking some action? Jesus is asking us to follow him. So what is our response? Are we willing to say yes without laying down conditions? Or are we still hedging our bets, only willing to go so far with him? Are we truly willing in our hearts to say, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go? Which means putting the interests of God's kingdom first, putting energy into what will build up God's kingdom in our relationships, in how we spend our time, in how we're involved in church, in how we worship God, in the decisions we make in our lives. And are we truly willing to trust God as we set out on that journey, which may be unknown? We may not see the destination at the moment, but we know who we're travelling with. Are we willing to trust him to provide all that we need, and trust him to lead us into places where we can grow as Christians and grow as people and serve him? So let's keep going with determination. Amen.